meditating on what the Lord wanted to share tonight, he asked me this question. And he said, what kind of impact do your words have? And tonight, God wants us to take an inventory of our words. And he wants us to become kingdom-minded. Now, the key to becoming kingdom-minded is to speak like a king. Amen? Let me say that again. The key to being kingdom-minded is to speak like a king. You know, you're a king and priests and queens. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people. You're called out of darkness to show forth his glory. And God has given you authority to use his name. And when you use his name on anything, it's as if he was there speaking, saying what you would say. When you say, and see, that's why we should never play around with the name of Jesus. Never act like you're just doing it out of jest, because it carries a lot of weight. All right? So I want you just to take an inventory of your words, and you need to filter the filth of this world through the truth, so when you speak the word of God out of your mouth without thinking about it. You know that we're in a world of negativity? I mean, in this world system, negativity thrives. You know, I mean, news, when they get a hold of something negative, they repeat it over and over and over and over and over again until you don't want to hear it anymore. So you got to be a filter. God put you on this earth to be a filter, to filter all that junk through the truth. You know, when you take water that's bad and you filter it, once it goes through the filter, you can drink it. But if it doesn't go through the filter, it's nasty. And God's given us a filter called his word and his Holy Spirit. He says, you're sanctified by the truth. My word is truth. Okay? And so your words, say this with me. Say, my words are powerful. And your words actually work either negative or positive. That's how powerful your words are. They will work. If you're constantly speaking negative, you'll reap negative things. And, you know, our words, like our bodies respond to our words. So, you know, negatively or positively. And I just wrote down some things that our words do. Okay? With our words, we persuade. We convince. We can inspire with words. You can hurt with words. And I'm sure that all of us could raise our hands and say, yes, I've been hurt with words at one time in my life. You can comfort. Although you can hurt with words, you can also comfort with words. You can encourage with words. You can advise. You can correct. You can teach. You can direct. You can govern with words. What are our laws but a bunch of words written down on paper, signed into law by the president, right? You can pray. Don't you use words to pray? Talk with God? You can use words to worship. You can use words to express feelings and emotions. You can use words to make your thoughts known. This was an interesting quote that I found. And this is by Thomas Watson. God's given you two ears, but one tongue, to show that we should be swift to hear, slow to speak. God has a double fence before the tongue, the teeth and the lips, to teach us to be wary that we should offend not with our tongue. Isn't that interesting? I thought that was a good quote. And then this was a quote by Nehemiah Adams. One of the first things which a physician says to his patients is, let me see your tongue. A spiritual advisor might often do the same. When you go there, he puts that stick on your tongue. He said, stick out your tongue. Ah, say ah. He checks out your tongue. And tonight, you're going to learn the key to moving forward from one level to another level. All right? We're going to see how God used the very simple medium of words to move people from point A to point B. Now, you know, promotion comes from God, but you need to give him something to work with. Your words. Don't let the devil use your words as a tool, because he will. And we're going to see that too. So words by themselves, you know, it's how you use those words that are going to make a difference. Our words are commentaries on our wills. That's by Anthony Faraday. And an author unknown said this, words must be weighed, not counted. Very interesting. So before you speak, you should say, Maltby Davenport Babcock said this, when I want to speak, let me think first, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? If not, let it be unsaid. Good thing to follow. All right, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Genesis 1. Okay? Genesis 1. And let's go to verses 2 and 3. All right? The Bible says, the earth was without form and an empty waste. I'm reading from the Amplified. Darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving or hovering over the face of the waters. Now, I want you to get this picture. This is an ugly situation. All right? Without form, an empty waste, dark, void. Okay? It's like looking into a cave that has no light, and you're wondering how deep it is. Or you're wondering if there's anything in there. Hello, is there anything in there? All right? Now notice, the situation is bleak. But how did God change the situation? Verse 3. And God said. Everybody say, and God said. God changed this dark without form, void circumstance simply by opening his mouth and speaking. What did he say? He was very specific. Let there be light. What happened? The light came on. It's just like opening the refrigerator. You open the refrigerator, what happens? The light comes on. You open your car, the light comes on. I love my car. It's got automatic headlights. I don't have to turn them off or on. But if I'm in a car that doesn't have that, I forget to turn my lights off. God changed the situation by speaking words. Would you agree with me that that is how heaven operates? So, if you want to, when heaven wants to change something, heaven speaks. Now, is the kingdom of heaven at hand? Amen? Did God give us the ability to act as they do in heaven? Yes? So if you want to change your circumstance, what must you do? Change your words. If you want a different outcome than what you have been experiencing, you must change what you've been saying. When you start to speak what God says, you'll get God's results. Only when you speak what God says. All right? Let me just list you a couple other scriptures. You don't have to turn to these, but just write them down. Psalm 33:6. The Bible says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Isaiah 40:26. God created the heavens and calls the starry host by name. calls them by name. How did Adam come about to identify the animals? God said, whatever he what? Calls them or names them, that's what they will be. Whatever you name your animals, that's what they'll be. I'm very excited about this because this, when I was reading this today, we're going to get to another passage of scripture that really brings this out. But it was like, I had to stop for a minute. I was like, whoa. I had to ask myself, what have I been saying? And it just took a moment. You know, you ever have a God moment when you realize, oh, I could, it didn't take long for me to change. So I made up my mind this afternoon that I'm going to speak differently about things. I know that our words are powerful because for 9 months, while Fiona carried Gabriel in her womb, every day I would lay my hands on her womb and I would speak over that womb. You know, and now we see the result. We have a very good kid. We call him the automatic child. You know, one day he came home from preschool and he punished himself. He did something wrong. We didn't even know what he did, but he put himself in the corner. We said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I did something wrong. We said, you did? We just call him the automatic child. And I'm fully convinced that that's because the words that were spoken over him for 9 months, we're seeing the results of that now. All right? Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. You got your seatbelts on? Because it's about to get good. 1 Samuel 17. So, you know what you've been saying. And you know what you have, and you know what you want, right? The difference between what you have and what you want are just a few words. It's that simple. Just like God created the worlds were framed with what? The Word. God spoke to a fig tree. Don't eat, no man's gonna eat fruit of you again. That fig tree said, okay, and it died and withered up. When there was a storm that brewed up on the sea, Jesus spoke to the storm, said, peace be still. The storm said, okay. It calmed down immediately. Jesus spoke to a withered hand. He told the man, stretch forth that hand. What happened? That hand became whole. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Okay? Now, David was commissioned by his dad to bring his brothers some bread and cheese. All right, maybe they wanted to make a pizza, I don't know. And he comes to where they're gathered for battle. And let's go down to verse 23. Okay. Now, as he talked with them, he left his carriage, you know, in the hand of the keeper. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spoke according to the same words, and David heard them. What did the Philistine do? He spoke words. With his words, though, he wanted to intimidate, he wanted to instill fear, he wanted to paralyze. Okay? And the men of Israel, when they saw that man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Sounds to me like his words had quite an impact. One man paralyzed the whole Israeli army. But he's a giant. Okay? The fight's about to break out, but it's not going to be a physical fight. It's going to be a spiritual fight. It's going to be a fight with words. That's what the enemy wants. You are engaged in warfare of words. But thank God, when you speak the word, that's the thing that's going to prevail. But if you speak negatively, that's the thing that will take hold of the situation. Whatever you speak will be the results that you have. And then verse 25, the men of Israel, have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? He has come up, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter, and make his father house free. So he's going to get rich, he's going to marry the king's daughter, and he's going to live tax free. Now when David heard these words, something perked up in David. He said, "Ooh, I want that. I want to be enriched, I want to marry the king's daughter, and I want to live tax free." Can you say amen? Okay, verse 26. David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine?" See, you never want to get involved in a battle without a reward. Don't get involved in a battle that doesn't have a reward. Okay? What's going to happen to this man who kills a Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? In order to change your circumstances, you've got to change your words. I want you to notice, when Israel talked about Goliath, they said he defies Israel. But when David talked about Goliath, he said he defies God. See, he's on a totally different plane. He changed the words that were spoken. Okay? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that kills him." Now, verse 28. Eliab, his older brother, heard when he spoke to the men. Now, Eliab was a soldier. Eliab was afraid of Goliath because he did nothing about it. He sat there and let Goliath do his thing. Three of David's brothers were warrior. They were fighting in the army here. Now, the youngest brother is coming on the scene. He's asking, what's going to happen to the man that kills Goliath? And so his eldest brother heard when he spoke unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David and said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep?" He's trying to belittle David. He's trying to stop David. He's trying to get David off course. "I know your pride and your naughtiness of your heart, how you are come down that you might see the battle." Eliab, David was stepping up to the plate when Eliab wasn't. Eliab was actually jealous, because he should have been the one. And David said, "What now have I done? Is there not a cause?" The cause is, you got this guy, this uncircumcised Philistine, defying the armies of God. They're speaking bad against God. That's a cause. Now look at what David did, verse 30. He turned from him toward another. When someone is trying to intimidate you or fear you, just turn away and go look at the opposite direction. That's just what David did. He didn't pay any attention. He didn't give the words that Eliab spoke any consideration. He didn't even, see, you cannot let the devil's words reside in your mind. You cannot let the thoughts, ideas, and suggestions to try to deter you from what you're there to do or from what you're here to do. Okay? There will be opportunities to quit, to give up, to stop believing, to doubt, to let things go that you want. You'll have opportunities, but you know what? Pass those opportunities up. Now, verse 30. And he turned toward from him toward another and spoke after the same manner. And the people answered him again. So he wanted to be sure what the reward was. Now look at verse 30 or 31. When the words were heard, which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for them. What impact do your words have? David was simply inquiring about what is the man going to get who kills Goliath. He asked it more than once. And the words that he spoke were heard. And an opportunity were created by his words to come before the king. Isn't that right? Okay? And I want to ask you a question. How do you handle opposition? So they brought David before Saul. In verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Okay? So how do you handle opposition? Let me give you some clues on how to handle opposition. Number one, you speak victory. Number two, you get on God's side by exalting him and his cause. Every time David talked about Goliath, he said they're defying God. All right? And you be bold at what God can do. It was pretty bold for David to say, "Let no man's heart fail," because he had to deal with the fear that the soldiers were feeling. How did he dispel fear? With his words. "Let no man's heart fail because of him." Isn't that what Jesus would do? When Jesus would show up on the scene, he would say, "Be of good cheer, fear not." Be of good cheer. Fear. He always told people, when an angel just appeared out of nowhere, and you got this 9-foot dude, you know, standing in front of you, glowing in white, your first reaction is to fear, but they would always say, "Fear not. Fear not." Jesus always had to deal with the fear. And the way he dealt with the fear was he spoke contrary to the fear, he spoke faith. If you want to dispel fear in your life, then you got to speak faith. Okay? This is how we fight. And so what does David do? You know, don't let any man's heart fear. He said, "Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." There wasn't a soldier who volunteered to fight with him, because he tormented Israel for 40 days. Now Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine, for you are but a youth." Now, this is where he rehearses his victories. "I fought the lion, I fought the bear, and Goliath is going to be just like one of them. I killed the lion, killed the bear, and I'm going to kill this giant." Okay? See, even though he was brought before Saul, he had to convince Saul. How do you convince him? You use words. Words of faith, words that inspire, words of courage. And verse 37, he said, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." He inspired Saul to let him go. But see, he spoke victory. He talked about the battles that he won. You know, you're never going to build faith by talking how you were defeated. "Yeah, I remember when I faced that giant, and boy, did he whip my butt." You know, if you're a prize fighter and you go into the ring saying, "I don't know if I can take this guy," then you probably won't. You have got to engage with your words. No, I mean, look at how David spoke. And he inspired Saul. So how do you handle opposition? You speak victory. You get on God's side by exalting him and his cause, and you be bold at what God can do. He said, "The Lord will deliver me." The Lord will deliver me. You know, David didn't say, "Well, I hope the Lord does it." Did he? If he'd have said that, he wouldn't have gone out and faced him. You've got to know that you've got to have assurance. You've got to have conviction. You've got to have boldness. The Lord will deliver me. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood before Nebuchadnezzar, they didn't have to think about what they were going to say to him when they didn't bow. Oh, king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. They knew exactly who would deliver them. They spoke with boldness. When Daniel read the law that said you can't pray for the next 30 days, the very first thing he did was he went home, opened the windows and doors, and prayed as loud as he could. That's how you handle opposition. You speak of victory. You get God on your side by exalting him in his cause. And you be bold. Everybody say, I'm bold. God wants you bold as a lion. I've watched nature shows. I've seen how the lions operate. You know, they're pretty bold. They're very bold. So he killed the bear. He said, this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like them because he defied the armies of God. Basically, David put God's reputation at stake. You know, David called Israel God's people. He said he has defied the armies of God. He didn't say the armies of Israel. So he recognized who owned the people or whose people they were. All right? So what kind of words, what kind of impact do your words have? Are you talking defeat or are you talking faith? Are you speaking victory? Are you saying what the word says or are you saying what you've experienced? Well, I remember the experience that I had. Yeah, but does your experience line up with the word? See, experiences don't change the word. You might have experienced something. You might have experienced something bad. But that doesn't change what God's will is. It doesn't change what the word says. It's just that you had a bad experience. But you can change your experiences by changing your words. Okay? Now let's go on. So first of all, he tried on Saul's armor. That didn't work. Stick with what you know. Amen? Say, just be you. Look at someone and say, just be you. Don't try to be someone else. Be you. Why do you think God went through all the work to make you if he wanted you to be someone else? You think God does things in vain? You're not a oops. You are not a oops. You are you because God made you you, so be you. If you try to be anybody else other than you, you're only going to be second best. Okay? So David used what he knew. He took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones, and he put them in his bag, and he had his sling in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came out, verse 41, came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him, his armor bearer. Verse 42, when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him or despised him, for he was but a youth. Praise God for the youth. You guys have the ability to take on giants because you have the passion and the boldness. Amen? You're the generation. David was a youth. David was in youth group. It was called the shepherd's group. David would hang out in the fields, play his harp. David led worship in the youth group. He played the harp. The rest of the youth were sheep and maybe some other workers. No one thought that David would amount to anything. He wasn't even invited to dinner when Samuel came. I see 7 sons, but do you have another son? Oh yeah, he's out in the field. Well, hello? What was he doing out in the field when the prophet comes to the house? They didn't think that he would amount to much. Except his father knew that he was responsible because everything that his father told him to do, he did. So here he is now. And the Philistine now engages David in a war of words. He said unto David, verse 43, am I a dog that you come out to me with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air. Now, look at verse 45. Then David said, you come at me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. David knew that he was in a spiritual battle. So he brings God in the scene. Okay? Anytime that you talk about God, you're talking faith. Speak about God. Okay? The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. He said, buddy, you're talking against my God, and he's the one that's going to face you. Goliath was ignorant. He thought David was going to hit him with a stick. But he was going to hit him with a name. Okay? And verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and take your head from you, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the... Oh, he gets excited now. Not only does he say Goliath, but now he says the host of the Philistines. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Never once did David doubt that it was the Lord's battle. The Lord who delivered me from the lion and the bear, he's going to deliver me here. Let no man's heart fail. All along the way, David's words were in line with God's words. Never once did David doubt in his words. This is important. If David would have said one word of doubt, he might not have killed Goliath. What kind of impact do your words have on a situation? Death and life are where? In the power of your tongue. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. You can either speak death or you can either speak life. You make the choice. You can either kill your dreams or you can inspire your dreams. You can either change your situation or you can kill any progress that you've made. It all depends on what kind of words you speak. That's the difference. Okay? So, what happened? David put his rock in his sling. He slung it, knocked Goliath out. David didn't have a sword, but he did have a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All right? So, if you want to have a greater impact in life, you got to take an inventory of your words. Young people, what are you saying about yourself? What are you saying about others? Are your words filled with can'ts? I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, then you've got to change the can'ts into cans. It's not just by erasing some letters, but you got to reprogram your mind to talk like God talks. And that's not going to change overnight sometimes. You know, there's no instant way. Instant faith, man. In this package, when you open this package and add it to the water, you will become faith man or faith woman instantly. It doesn't work that way. Do you know how much time David spent praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord, praying before he ever got to Goliath? You think that he just got in faith when he came to the battlefield? But too many Christians are like that. You take no time to get in faith until the battle's raging. And then it makes it harder to get in faith. You can't get in faith in that moment. You better get in faith now. Right now. So, Man, I got so many things to go to. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. David won the battle, didn't he? Why did David win the battle? Because he was stronger? Because he was a better warrior? No, because he spoke different words. The difference between Goliath and David was the words that were spoken. Do you realize why did Nebuchadnezzar grow hair and nails and eat grass like an animal? Because he spoke prideful words. The words that he spoke were full of pride and arrogant, and he refused to repent. And so he's walking, admiring all the stuff that he did. Look at what I've done. Bam. He spoke prideful words, and a thing was attracted to those words and changed him into an animal. And for a period of weeks and months, he ate grass like a cow. His hair grew on his body. Nails grew. It was all in direct result of the words that he spoke. I can't go there in Daniel, but you can read it. Ephesians chapter 4. I got to read this from the Amplified. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Assuming that you have really heard him and been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him, strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old, unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. Before you come to Christ, you were dominated by corruptive desires, negative thoughts, negative words, negative actions, whatever. Before Christ, we're a mess. But now in Christ, we have to do some house cleaning. And we've got to strip ourselves. You know, if you want to wax a floor, you've got to add stripper to the wax. You got to strip the wax that's currently on there in order to put new wax on. Otherwise, it won't take or it won't shine as much. If you want to refinish a piece of wood, you got to strip the old finish so that you can put a new finish on. And the stripping is a harsh chemical. It's a chemical reaction. It brings heat. Okay? Verse 23. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 25. Therefore, rejecting all falsity and done now with it, let everyone express truth with his neighbor. King James says, speak the truth in love. For we all parts one body, members of one another. Verse 26, when angry, do not sin. How do most people express their anger? Through words. Through words. Bible says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. If you're too quick to get angry, then there's some more renewing that needs to be done in order to change that and bring out the new. You know, if you have a container of soapy water, and if you continue to let fresh water run in that, it'll eventually, what happens? It gets out all the suds, doesn't it? The fresh water gets pumped in, and it brings all the suds to the top. Eventually, all that's coming out of the container is fresh water, because all the stuff that was in there is out, because the fresh water was being poured in. That's what we need to do. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. Do not let your wrath or your exasperation or your fury or indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands. And verse 29, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as in fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace to those who hear it. Isn't that what David did? The whole army was racked with fear, and he goes to the king, the one who had authority. Let no man's heart fail because of him. What was he doing? He was changing the atmosphere with his words. And if David can change the atmosphere with his words, that means you and I can too. That means that our words can have a greater impact. It all depends on the choice of words. You can say what you feel, you can say what you feel just as easily as you can say what God said. Isn't that true? It's just as easy to say what God said as it is what you feel, but we're so programmed to say what we feel first. And listen, I'm guilty of this too. That's why I said, when I read this today, I was like, whoa, I was like slap in the face, you know, to reality. God had to wake me up because I realized what I've been saying. And what I've been saying is what I'm having, so if I want to change what I have, I got to change what I say. I mean, this hit me pretty intensely today. So, part of the change that we have to do, as we change the stuff, we also have to change our speech. You can't continue to speak negative things and have positive results. If you want positive results, you must speak positive things. Matthew 12:37 says, "By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Pretty powerful, isn't it? You're either justified or condemned by your words. That's powerful. There's no black and white. You either speak words that justify you or words that condemn you. The power of your words. Man, I'm not even on page 2 yet. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. It's right not too far from Ephesians. Excuse me. Colossians chapter 3. Oh, okay, yeah, I know where I want to go after this. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And verses 8 and 9. He's pretty much saying the same thing that Ephesians did. Verse 8 says, "But now," everybody say now. "Don't wait till tomorrow to change. Change begins right now in this moment. But now, you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Anything that's not in line with the Word of God is filthy. I'll prove it to you. You can go to Numbers. We're not going to go there, but the 12 spies, 10 of them said, "There are giants in the land. We can't do it." The Bible calls that an evil report. So when you're saying that you can't do something after the Lord said you can, that's an evil report. You're speaking contrary to God. You're speaking death. You're lining up with the enemy. You're giving the enemy ammunition to operate in your life. Verse 9. "Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." All right, go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And look at verse 23. The Lord showed me this too. This is the story of Jairus. And so he was a ruler of the synagogue. Verse 23. "He besought him greatly," saying. Everybody say, saying. What did Jairus say? My little daughter lies at the point of death. Okay, he states the problem. His daughter is really sick. She's lying at the point of death. Now notice what he says. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her that she might be healed, right? That she may be healed, that I hope she'll be healed. That she may be healed and she shall live. Do you realize that her words, his words, were so powerful and so positive that they attracted Jesus and he said, I'll come with you. Jesus only goes where faith is. The words that Jairus spoke were so full of faith that Jesus was willing to come with him and lay his hands on his daughter so that she can live. Notice, Jesus did not resist coming with him. Verse 24, Jesus went with him. Why did Jesus go with him? Because of the words that he spoke. Lay your hands on her and she shall be healed. Shall is the most powerful word in the English language. Means it cannot go any other way. He knew that if Jesus came, if the presence of the Lord came, that she's going to be healed no matter what. And Jesus said, I'll come with you. Because Jesus loves to accompany faith. Just like Jesus was on the battlefield when David faced Goliath. And Jesus took that sling, and as David wrapped that sling, it was God. He says, let me show you how it's done. And he took that rock, and he says, watch this, bullseye, boom. It was God that took control because of the words that David spoke. The words that David spoke made the difference in the battle. The words that Jairus spoke made the difference in his daughter's healing. And let's go on. Verse 25, a certain woman which had the issue of blood for 12 years. Okay, go down to verse 27. She heard of Jesus. In other words, she heard the word. She dealt with this disease for 12 years, right? Suffered many things, spent all her money. But when she heard of Jesus, she came in behind and touched his garment, for she said, what did she say? If I may touch but his clothes, I might be whole. I hope to be whole. I'll be whole tomorrow. I shall be whole. Okay? So she touched him. And he turned about and said, who touched me? His disciples said, you know, everybody's touching you. He looked around to see her. Verse 33, the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and said, told him all the truth. And he said to her, my great power healed you. Daughter, your faith made you whole. Her faith was in what she said. She got exactly what she said. If I but touch the hem of his clothes, I shall be made whole. She really believed it because she did it. Now, if you're just going to say words without action, then your words have no power. You've got to be willing to add the action to your words. If the Bible says honor your father and mother, then guess what? You've got to honor them. But you don't know how they are. It doesn't matter. You honor them. You love them, you bless them, you respect them. Isn't that right? You got to be willing to accompany your words with actions. Otherwise, they're just words. They're vain. So it was the woman's faith that made her whole. Didn't say his power, even though power went out of him. It was her faith. It was what she said and what she did that released the power to her. Then, verse 35, while he yet spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain which said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any further? Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. He had to deal with the fear right away. He heard the word that was spoken. The word was, your daughter's dead. Oh my gosh, she's dead. Be not afraid, only believe. In other words, What Jesus is telling him, don't change what you said. If you said she shall be whole, then your words are going to be carried through. He said, don't be afraid, only believe. In other words, don't change what you said originally. And that's the key to changing your circumstances. What happened? Verse 38, he comes into the house, sees the tumult, and then them that wept and wailed. When he was come in, he said to them, why make you all this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleeps. Boy, now that's a bold statement. They saw her die. When they laughed him to scorn, Jesus was even laughed at. And he put them all out. I love Jesus. See, even when people are laughing at you, will you still be in faith? He put the ones that were laughing at him out. Because he had the authority of the Father. And so he took the damsel by the hand. Do you realize that Jesus did exactly what Jairus said? If you come and touch her, she shall be whole. What did Jesus do? He took her by the hand. He touched her and said, Talitha kumai, that his daughter arise. Jesus did exactly what Jairus said. Isn't that interesting? Do you think your words have an impact? Your words will either invite Jesus or keep him at arm's length. What you say, let me put it to you this way. The words that you say will either be responded to by God or the devil. And faith is not someone that changes his mind. I'm going to be healed. I don't know. I'm going to be healed. I don't know. I'm going to be healed. I don't know. That's double-mindedness. Make up your mind. Pick one opinion. Stick with it. That's what Elijah said. If Baal is God, serve him. If God is God, serve him. How long halt you between two opinions? So, I've got more examples, but I'm out of time. What kind of impact are your words having? You want to change what you have? Very simply, change what you say. Change your words. You know, your words will change you. When you're having a problem with someone, they get under your skin, they irritate you, start saying how many good things about them and see if your attitude doesn't change. Start saying the good things about them. Say they're a child of God. I love them anyway. You know what? It's not going to take but a few minutes and your attitude will change because you've changed your words. And, you know, if someone will gossip to you, they'll gossip about you. So, let's not entertain gossip. I know it's so easy to do. The flesh likes it, but we just gotta say no. So, change the impact that you have with your words. Your words will plot the course of your life. Whether or not you fulfill God's destiny is depending on what you say. And I'm going to close with this. David transferred from being a shepherd to a king by what he said. After he said what he said about Goliath, Saul put him in charge of his entire army. And whatever mission he went out to do, he did it with success. And it's all because of what he said when he was a youth. The key to success, God gave it to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of what? Your mouth. Why did he say that? Because that is the key to success, right there. When you are speaking God's word, In order to do that, you got to get it in you. You can't speak it if it's not there. It's like trying to withdraw from an ATM with a zero balance. Ain't going to happen unless you got, overdraft protection. Well, your words. Change your words. Let's start speaking about our community. Let's start speaking about our church. Let's start speaking about our families. Instead of saying how many aren't saved, let's call them saved. Call those things that be not as though they are. You, take your authority. Speak differently, and you're going to see different results. Amen? And if you have an offering tonight, you can place it in our offering container. Father, we just give you thanks and praise. Lord, we stand before you and we repent for all the negative, filthy, corrupt, ungodly words that we have spoken over our lives, over ourselves, over others, over our situations, Lord. We repent. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because you said if we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to do just that. So Father, we thank you that we're cleansed by your blood and we're washed. And today is a new day. In this moment right now, we make a decision that we're going to speak the word of God. And that's the only thing that's going to be spoken over us, that we're going to speak over us in Jesus' name. Amen.